one spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the daughters and sons of Israel. When a man or a woman commits any of the wrongs common to humanity, breaking faith with the Holy One, that person is guilty. Then they shall confess the sin that they committed. The person shall make full restitution of the wrong. They shall add one-fifth to the top and give it to the one wronged. If there is no next of kin to make restitution to for the wrong, the restitution for the wrong shall go to the Holy One, for the priest, in addition to the ram of atonement, with which atonement is made for the one wronged. And all the offerings of all the holy gifts of the daughters and sons of Israel, every gift that they bring to the priest shall be his. Each priest keeps those holy gifts. Each shall keep what was given to him.
Jesus said, You have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be subject to judgment. But I say to you all, that if you are angry with a sister or brother, you'll be liable to judgment. And if you call a sister or brother an idiot, you'll be subject to the council. And if you say, you fool, you'll be subject to the hell of fire. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and you remember that your sister or brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your sister or brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to favourable terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way with them, or accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the court officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny.
My reading from the book of Numbers, when a man or a woman commits any of the wrongs common to humanity, breaking faith with the Holy One, that person is guilty. Then they shall confess the sin that they have committed. I don't often get to preach from the book of Numbers, and thank you to Chris for leaving me such cheerful readings, but it is Lent, I guess. It does rather remind me of when I was a teenager, many years ago, on the streets of Birmingham, seeing a street preacher, and he was stood there with his Bible in his hand, and he was solemnly declaring, You're all unhappy! Embrace Jesus Christ, and you will be happy! And he looked the most unhappy person I've ever seen. He was the worst role model for Christianity. Well, probably as bad as Prince Andrew is for the royal family. But it is the season for spiritual spring cleaning, for setting ourselves right with God and with one another. We do our confession at the start of every service, but how often do we do so on automatic pilot, just mouthing the words and not actually thinking about them? I left a bit of silence when I introduced the confession on purpose and lost the place, honest. It was a chance for us just to recall where we may not be becoming following as closely as we might in Jesus' footsteps. And if we rush through our confession and just say the words to get to the good bit, the absolution, well, that's not a good thing ever, but certainly not in Lent. We are, after all sinners, possibly not something to cheer up. We need to take our failings seriously. But neither are we to lose sight of the fact that we, none of us, are unforgivable. We turn to our Saviour in repentance. We turn away from the thing we've done wrong. If we confess the mistake we've made, then we are all offered forgiveness through Jesus' saving work on the cross. That is the good news that we celebrate even in Lent, when you might think we're looking a bit dour and dreary. As our passage from Numbers so wonderfully puts it, when a man or woman commits any of the wrongs common to humanity, the fact that we all sin, we all have sin in common, is something that sobers us. Nobody is perfect. but it's also a comfort. That however much the mess we may feel we have made of things, everybody does so. We none of us are perfect. It's both a damning indictment, but also something to give us comfort, a reminder that we none of us alone have made such a mess of things that we stand out from everybody else. No one is outside the ambit of God's forgiveness. Yes, repentance needs to be taken seriously. We need to look carefully at what we've done wrong. And so in Numbers, the Israelites are directed not just to mumble a moody teenager's guru to those we have wronged, or worse still, the politicians, sorry if I caused any offence, which is only a sorry if we get caught out. The person shall make full restitution of the wrong. They shall add one fifth to the top and give it to the one wronged. Stop and think, well, that means practically. It's not just sorry, but sorry plus, with a 20% markup. Even my maths is good enough for that. What does that mean for the mistakes we've made, particularly those we've made against our friends, our neighbours, the people we work with? How do we make up for the things we've done wrong? Maybe it's a cup of coffee as well as the sorry to make up for it, some chocolates, flowers. If unlike me, you haven't got hay fever, never really appreciated the flowers arriving on the doorstep, they immediately go out into the garden. There are little ways, aren't there, that we can make up for the things we've done wrong? And if it's a big thing, maybe you need to think about a bigger way of showing that you are sorry, he says, putting his teeth in. There's also helpful advice for us what to do when you can no longer say sorry for something you've done. Some of the saddest funerals I conduct are those where the sins of the deceased or the family or the friends have not been forgiven, and that final sorry hasn't been said, and it feels like you can't say sorry anymore because they're not here anymore. And they can't say sorry to you for the things they've done to you because they're not here anymore. And at a lower level, how do you say sorry to somebody who isn't talking to you anymore? That happens, doesn't it, unfortunately? And likewise, how do you enable somebody to say sorry to you when you feel so hurt that you actually can't be in the room with them at any given time? Well, Numbers has got you covered. If there is no next of kin to make restitution for the wrong, and I would also argue if the person you've wronged isn't talking to you, the restitution for the wrong shall go to the Holy One for the priest. Here's the bit I really like. And all the offerings of all the gifts of the daughters and sons of Israel, every gift that they bring to the priest shall be his or hers. Each priest keeps those gifts. Each shall keep what was given to him or her. So I brought a big bag. but rather than animals to sacrifice, it's a bit messy and noisy, I do have, you know, approach back to things. Well, maybe we don't need to follow the Old Testament way, thanks to Jesus, I suppose. In our Gospel, Jesus talks about leaving our gifts at the altar, leaving our sinful ways behind us before we approach to receive the presence of Jesus in the bread and the wine. And that's what the peace is all about. It's about making peace with one another, gathered together, ensuring that if there's anything we haven't yet said sorry for, effectively we have offered the chance by offering our hand or however you share the peace these days. Watching COVID is full pains to shaking hands in my church. It's still grumpy about it, but there we go. There is something very liberating about being able to offer your sins to God, especially if we're not able to make amends to the person that we've sinned against for whatever reason. Even if the person isn't speaking to us, we can at least make a start in our road to redemption, to forgiveness, by saying our sorries to God on that person's behalf. And who knows, hopefully at some point they will be talking to us again, and we've already offloaded some of our guilt, and then the final sorry is actually that little bit easier. Sometimes confessing things to God enables us to then apologise to the person who affected it. It almost makes us realise just how much we may have hurt by saying sorry to God. Makes us realise the depth of what we've done. If they're around and speaking to us. Now, I realise this probably isn't a sort of church where the minister offers individual confession, I suspect. It's generally a Roman Catholic thing, although some churches and churches do offer. And I once in my life sought individual confession. It was something I did wrong that I just felt so embarrassed about that I couldn't then go and apologise to the person I wronged. And this might seem like a very silly thing to you, and sometimes in the common light of day, these things do seem in with perspective, not so serious. But it's so weighed down on me that I couldn't say sorry to the person I wronged. Of all places, it was in my theological college where I was trained to be a priest, which is, you know, not the greatest place to be offending people. And it was one of my fellow students. His father had just died. And I think I was studying funerals at the time. And I said, well, I hope you have a good funeral in a very fancy, cheerful way. Exactly. And you can probably guess what the look on his face was like. And immediately my heart went, boom, oh, heavens, what have I said? But I felt so embarrassed and guilty about it, I didn't feel the ability to say sorry at the time. And we were rushing off to do something else, and so this sorry was left unsaid. And as the day went on, I felt worse and worse, and also less and less able to apologise to them, which was really weighing me down. And in the end, I went to see the college chaplain, and it was a rather informal confession, but it was a confession nevertheless. And being able to say sorry for the mess I think I'd made things, and being reminded that we all do it from time to time, as the chaplain pointed out. We all put our foot in it. We're never going to go through this life and never make a mistake. And then that liberated me to be able to go and say sorry to the person I'd upset. It's like clearing a blocked drain for repentance. Well, we won't explore that too deeply. But it's that idea that we get so crammed up with what we've done wrong that actually it seems so hard to say sorry. And saying sorry to God is somehow a release. It enables you then to go to the person and say sorry. And if that person is no longer with us, that's the closest you're going to get in this life. And still it's a release to have said sorry for the thing you've done wrong in the presence of God. The bottom line is, this season of repentance in Lent shouldn't be a dreary season of sackcloth and ashes, but a wonderful opportunity for a spiritual spring clean, to overcome the mistakes of the past and joyfully embrace the forgiveness Christ offers afresh. May this Lent be that time for you, I pray.